Dennis, according to an annual report from the Annie E. Casey Foundation that came out this week, Georgia ranks 42nd among the 50 states in what they call child well-being. Rebecca Rice works with the study here in Georgia, and she joins us now. Rebecca, thanks for taking the time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Let's begin with defining child well-being.
Sure. Well, so the report that we actually issued this time was about foster care, but child well-being goes across sectors. It's education, it's economic well-being, it's social well-being, it's making sure that they're in families that are stable and self-sufficient and that they're in strong communities.
So when you take a look, and Georgia has had its woes with its foster care division, there have been some major overhaul, and they have made a lot of accomplishments, and many say there's still a lot to do. Let's talk about this study and how you all gather your data and put these rankings together.
Sure. Well, so this study was one particular data point from the Adoption and Fostering National Child Care Database. And it looked at children in foster care, specifically those kids who are placed in group settings and institutions rather than in families in the foster system. And so what we learned in Georgia is that there are about 17% of kids in the foster system that are placed in these group and institutional settings, whereas the national average is 14%. So we're a little bit higher than the national average on that.
Well, I guess one could argue, well, the well-being of the child has to come first. So could this be an indication that perhaps placing the children in a facility or what you all say institution might have been the best place as opposed with a family member? Is that part of it as well?
Well, so there are situations where children absolutely need to be in the kinds of situations where care can be given in like a group home or an institution. But we know that 40% of kids who are in these group homes and institutions don't actually have any medical or diagnosis or behavioral diagnosis that would require them to be there, to be in care. So it's important. We actually know that kids who get placed in families do better overall. They have better, they have stronger socio-emotional bonds. They have better educational outcomes. They're less likely to enter the juvenile justice system. And they also actually become better parents themselves when that time comes. So it has a really strong effect on child well-being. So we do want to get kids in families rather than in institutions whenever when it's appropriate.
But in Georgia, part of the problem for years has been it's been difficult with caseloads for the workers to monitor how each individual family is doing.
Absolutely.
So how do you, even though you might say, and it might even be common sense overall, a child placed with a family does better, how are you able to make sure that there aren't the individual problems that could result in terrible outcomes for kids?
Absolutely. That's a really important question. So there is new legislation that I think a lot of people know that the governor signed into law, child welfare reform, earlier this month. And that actually provides, in addition to lots of structural changes, the new legislation actually provides $12.5 million in new state funding for 278 additional DFACS caseworkers just in the next fiscal year. And it also provides $5.8 million in additional funding for training and recruitment of new foster parents. And I think that's in addition to, again, a paucity of caseworkers to really oversee child well-being in the foster system, it's also really important to make sure that we have enough families that are adequately prepared to be foster parents. And so we're hoping that these new state allotments will really help kids not only get more Georgia kids in families rather than in institutions, but also in families that are prepared to take on what it means to be a foster parent. Because these are kids who often have, you know, their social lives have been disrupted. They move schools. They are no longer able to participate in a lot of their extracurricular activities. They move from their friends. Sometimes they're separated from their siblings. So these are kids who have experienced trauma. And so absolutely, it's really important to train and recruit foster parents so that they are, again, so that not only do we have enough families, but that these families are prepared. And so we're hoping that this new legislation is at least a step forward for Georgia to ultimately improve outcomes for kids.
Well, that was my next question, which is, no, that's okay, because I just wanted to follow up on that. You look at the legislation that the governor signed, and it's partly a question of caseloads and retention of caseworkers, and partly a question of making sure that there are A, enough families, and B, enough properly trained families. Is this going to be enough to adequately train the numbers of families that we need to right. get these kids into safe homes.
It's such new legislation. Eventually, obviously, data will continue to be collected. Well, I think one of the important pieces of this new legislation is actually that DFACs must now recreate a child abuse and neglect database. I believe there was one in the past, but they have to create a new one. And not only do they have to create this registry, they must establish new data sharing protocols across all state agencies, especially the Department of Early Care and Learning, Department of Community Health. So it's really that way, you know, it's a lot less likely that these kids will fall through the cracks, and that we'll also be able to track these things over time to see if this is enough, if this is working, and we need to continue moving forward along this path. And there are also, in addition to for, you know, these new data protocols, now foster parents and educators will actually have better access to foster children's medical records and education histories, again, to just try to create some more oversight to make sure that these kids are doing well, are placed in the right places, and then we can track and see how we're doing, and like you said, is this adequate, or do we need to continue moving in this direction to make sure that we're doing what we have to do to get kids in good situations?
We're speaking with Rebecca Rice about the new study from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. Rebecca, you mentioned data sharing, and you mentioned being able to share information mm-hmm. not just within the states, but also with neighboring states. And Georgia and Alabama now have a partnership as it relates to foster care, finding the nearest relative or family member mm-hmm. for a foster child here in Georgia right. who might have a relative in Alabama. One thing I want to ask you about is when you look at the fact that these caseloads, and that has been a big issue with social workers having so many caseloads and kids falling through the cracks, is there a state that's doing it sort of right that Georgia could look at as a model? Is there a state out there that well, I guess would rank higher?
Well, we do know, I mean, the data that we have in this report show that there are some states that are doing well in terms of getting kids in families and, you know, placing kids in systems. We don't have, in this report, we don't have data on how well those systems are run, but we do, there are states that do a much better job of getting kids in families. And we also know that there are states that have better outcomes in general and much better data sharing protocols. For example, Massachusetts has extremely good data sharing protocols and data collection methods. And then there are some states that are doing well getting kids in families. And the states are Maine, the Pacific Northwest actually does really well. So there are states that are doing a good job at this. And I think that this is a really big step for Georgia to start establishing these data sharing protocols, because it's something that's new and that it's really necessary to make sure not only that we're sharing and that we can track things over time, because it's so important to be able to look at data and to make data-driven decisions about what to do for these kids.
And also, one area I also want to talk about, Rebecca, is when you look at special needs kids, and that's also another yes. component. That may require a different set of training for foster parents
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Well, there are a couple groups of kids that are harder to place than other kids. Special needs is probably right up there at the top. Sibling groups are very hard to place if they want to stay together. And then I know that teenagers often are harder to place and often end up aging out of the system without ever getting a family. So there are very real challenges for certain groups of kids, especially, like you said, special needs, and they do require more training and more support and more resources. This legislation is so new. We don't have a breakdown from DFACs yet as to what these new training line items and protocols are going to be. But the DFACs and Director Cagle, the new director of DFACs, who now reports directly to the governor, is doing a series of town hall meetings in every DFACs region in the state starting on May 27th for 2 hours. The public is encouraged to come and ask questions of DFACs and of the director himself to really talk about what are these supports actually going to look like, how can people get involved, how are we, you know, making sure that, again, there are not only enough families but well-trained families. So I think it's important for people to get out and, you know, try to take advantage of this new kind of transparency.
Another key to reducing caseloads and keeping kids in safe homes is to keep them from getting in the system in the first place.
Absolutely.
One of the main reasons that kids end up in foster care is because of family violence.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia has a new head of its commission on family violence. Is there any indication at that end whether we're making progress on the efforts to reduce the causes of kids ending up in foster care in the first place?
Absolutely. Again, we don't have we haven't spoken with the new commissioner or have data from that side of things, but we absolutely believe in terms of violence as well as families dealing with incarceration, those are huge causes of entering the foster system. And so I do think that, you know, we've looked at a little bit of juvenile justice reform in the past, and hopefully some of those reforms will take root. But I do think there are a lot of places we need to look that, you know, like you said, the reason that these kids end up in care. We don't have much data that speaks to it, like I said, from the family violence side, other than tracking child abuse and neglect rates over time. But I absolutely think that reducing violence as well as, again, just making sure that parents aren't, you know, families are strong, parents are ready to have kids, they're prepared, they have access to education and employment opportunities, all of those things will ultimately reduce the number of kids in care.
So the bottom line, it appears, is we're taking a lot of steps that we think will work, but it's too early to tell whether they will.
It's very new. We're really hoping that this will improve outcomes for these kids. And again, all of these things are related. I mean, again, the number of kids in foster care is related to so many other indicators that we're constantly working on. And we're a data-driven organization. So we actually look at 45 different indicators on an annual basis to try to inform our work. And I'm really encouraged that the state is starting to do more data sharing. And I think that's a huge step. But again, it is too early to know because it's brand new legislation. And again, I'm hoping people will take advantage of these town hall meetings to kind of go and ask questions and find out what this is really going to look like.
Rebecca Rice is the Georgia Kids Count Coordinator. The Kids Count study comes out annually from the Annie E. Casey Foundation. And full disclosure, the Annie E. Casey Foundation is an underwriter of NPR. Rebecca Rice, thanks very much for being with us, and we'll continue to follow this as we start to get more data.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rebecca.
All right.